From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed psychotherapist, and this is a show where every week we deal with mental health issues from a holistic perspective, which means body, mind, and spirit, and creating a sense of balance and consciousness that allows you to live with a sense of more confidence and centeredness and open hearts. Now, we all know that the truth will set you free. The question we ask on this show is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? I'm doing a very special show today, and I'm actually doing it, as Doc Watson did this morning, from a remote location in Sedona at a conference called Celebrate the Divine Feminine. And yesterday I actually led a workshop here called The Goddess Wears a Beard. And it was about a workshop on reconciliation. And we've talked before on the show. In fact, you might go back in the archives on TellTheTruthFaster.com and find a couple of shows I did on what masculine and feminine aspects are of our souls and how we integrate them and how that separation and lack of consciousness really keeps us from living more powerfully and more fully and more compassionately and more lovingly on the planet. And the workshop yesterday was about reconciliation. It was about helping people get more in touch with what their beliefs are that keep the masculine aspect of themselves separate from the feminine aspect of themselves and how to integrate it and how to marry them. In fact, that's exactly what the participants did yesterday. So I really want to acknowledge the people who put this together, Stellar Productions. And it's been a great weekend, and if you are so inclined, if you're in the Phoenix area and want to take a little drive, the workshop's going on until tomorrow evening. There's still some great presenters going on, and it's at the Creative Life Center in Sedona. And I really recommend that you take a drive up. It's worth it. And so there's going to be some great music tonight and a great play tomorrow and still some wonderful speakers. But I want to get into, I actually have a few guests. Most of you who've listened before know that either I don't have a guest at all or I just have one that we talk with for the entire hour and take callers. And I remind those that are listening, if you want to call in the number in the Phoenix area or if you're listening from outside Phoenix via the internet on the simulcast on your computer, the number is 480-949-1310. That's 480-949-1310. So, yesterday, there were awards given out here, and there were 12 of them given. They're called the Beacon of Light Awards. And at those awards, I was introduced to two very powerful and incredible people who work in similar areas, which very often has to do with helping people with addictions. And if you've listened to my show before, you know I've done many shows on addiction issues, compulsive behaviors, and had many different guests with many different perspectives. But all of it is really about healing the soul that's been broken, the soul that has been hidden away so deep because of the addictions, the substances, the behaviors that people need to do whatever they can to reconnect and raise their consciousness, change their behaviors, and again, find peace where they've been afraid to feel or think most things that have been going on inside. So I want to introduce two people. They're both going to be on at the same time. And the first one is Laura Bell Wynn. And this is an amazing woman who actually, I told her earlier today, reminded me of my mother, who they're born the same year, 1923, which makes them both 83 years old. And to look at both of them and to 82 years old, her birthday is yet to come. but to look at them and to be in their presence, both my mother and Laura Bell Wynn, you would know that chronology has nothing to do with who they are. There's a sense of power and effervescence and a sense of purpose and commitment that is just extremely powerful and contagious. And it's one of those types of contagions that we all welcome. So I welcome Laura Bell Wynn to the show. And sitting next to her right now is Dean Tarabarelli, who is working on opening a recovery center here in Sedona called the Sanctuary at Sedona. And I'm going to ask both of you to take just a minute to introduce yourselves a little bit about your background, and then I want to get into where you came from, what it is you're doing. So, Laura, why don't we start with you?
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be here with you.
Thank you.
And with Dean, of course. I like what you're saying about age having nothing whatsoever to do with one's activities. It's a state of mind, and that's the thing that I focus on 24/7, state of mind. Until we learn to change our minds, whatever is happening with the body will keep going. If you don't like it, simple, change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You adopt another way of thinking, another way of being, another way of acting. And a little about myself is that I was born and raised on a farm. Always, always introduced to all of the critters, all of the animals. And as a child, I always had babies, something or another's to take care of. So I learned to be a caregiver as a child. And as I grew older, if my friends didn't do what I wanted to do, then we didn't do it at all. I was still a pushy. I attribute my pushy attitude with, and that's exactly what it is, but it's fun. I always make it fun and always make it laughable. Is to let people know that when you have a vision, you have to show the world and everyone around you that you're serious about your vision. So you can call it pushy, call it whatever you want, but you know you've got a job to get done. And I have a lot of people to help and a lot of souls to save, and that's the thing that I work on, and that gets me up early in the morning. And as I said in the meeting yesterday, it gets me to the mirror to say, good morning, darling, you're beautiful.
And one of the things that really impressed me yesterday is that I forget how many years ago it was, that it was in Santa Monica, California, and there was a recovery program called Synanon that was moving into the neighborhood, and you had no idea really what it was about. You just knew you needed to show up and be of service.
Yes.
And that got you involved with a lot of recovery issues, even though it may not have been a personal issue for yourself, it became a personal purpose.
Well, I was in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
and the group came out from Santa Monica, 12 young men and young women, mm-hmm. and they had rented a very large, lovely house in the neighborhood that I lived in.
In Detroit. Okay.
And the neighbors did not want them. They were on television saying, no, 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 we're not going to rent this house to these people. And I was insulted by that, because having spent 18 years on the eastern seaboard from Miami to New York, I worked in all of those cities, and I was treated royally, and I only knew to treat people the same way. So I went down to see what the fuss was about, and I was told by the lady that was handling the meeting that her question was, how would you like 12 dope fiends living next to you? Well, I said, well, I don't know. What is a dope fiend? And at that point, she said, you have no business in this meeting, because you don't know what we're talking about. I said, well, if you have any trouble at all with these people, I like the way they look. They look just fine to me. This is my phone number. Call me. And any trouble, and I assumed responsibility on the spot for 12 people that I knew nothing of. And as I got into Synanon and learned about, that could have been a disaster.
It could have been.
It could have been a disaster. But I believe with all of the people that I've taken care of during the, and all of my traveling up and down the eastern seaboard, I have many stories like that, some very, very good ones. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't afraid at all to trust the people.
Mm-hmm.
I never was hurt or insulted or anything. So I have always believed that the world loved me, respected me, honored me in every way, and that's how I treated those people. So that's when the president came out and asked if I would come into Synanon and set up a sales team there, as I had done on the mm-hmm. when I was working. So that my little fun part of the story is that in all of my working, I always recognize my guiding spirits and the spirit world. I do believe that we have a world around us that is invisible, but at the same time, it is the active and in the real world. I don't believe that this what we see is what's real.
Right.
I believe that the other world is. So I just said, if I'm supposed to do this, I was given up a very, very large life to go and live in a place where I wasn't going to be paid. I wasn't paying into Social Security or anything. I was donating my time to the cause, a cause which I knew nothing of.
Mm-hmm.
So the when the president asked me, I simply said, listen to my guides. If you want me to do this, give me a sign. And a week later, I came home, and my apartment was burned to a crisp. And I didn't know what to do about that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, now, I didn't intend for you guys to go nuts while you were giving me a sign. I just wanted a simple sign. But anyway, that was how I gave up my beautiful lifestyle. I gave up everything and moved into Synanon. And at that time, Synanon was very poor. And that's why they wanted me to come and set up a sales team.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to sell advertising gift specialties.
Mm-hmm.
So I got 12 of those kids, and I whipped them in line. Got their teeth done, because you know drug addicts can go right down the tube physically. And got them all polished up and got them cleansed and went on the road with them. We worked all of the state of California.
So you trained them.
Oh, yes. I went out on the field with them and trained them.
You know, the one thing about what I know about addicts is there's such a level of shame attached to them. And they're treated critically and shamefully, too, because people have such judgment about addiction and the behaviors around it and stuff. And what I'm hearing from you is, in your innocence and what some might call naivety,
it was.
And that naivety was really a gift and a blessing to them
it
as
was.
Well as to yourself, because it allowed you to show up completely in your heart and your innocence to say, these are human beings that I want to treat as human beings with respect and love. And for most addicts, they're not used to be treated like that, especially at the beginning of recovery, and it's hard for them to receive it, and I get why they were able to receive it from you, just being in your presence.
Yes,
it's an amazing thing.
And I didn't know until later on, as we did in Synanon, what we call playing the game. That was a healing process.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting in a circle and going into the soul, as a dentist goes into a cavity, and that can be rough. And I enjoyed that because I knew that they would be better off, and they needed someone like me. And one of the things that was very interesting about this, I always carried the spiritual side with me. Synanon did not approve of that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about that. It wasn't about 12 steps. It wasn't about that. And I didn't know any better, and I know that I always have to do the spiritual side.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it. And I stayed in hot water for almost 20 years.
Well, I was telling Dean before we went on the air that when I first got out of graduate school, I was hired by a long-term drug abuse treatment program in Lake Worth, Florida. It's called the Link Foundation at the time. And I was hired with my master's degree for minimum wage as a night watchman. Every 20 minutes, my job was to go around watching them sleep and counting the heads to make sure nobody ran away.
No one taught it split.
Split. That's the word we used also. And it was a very Synanon-based type of program
at that
time, because there was no 12-step, there was no sense of spirituality, was actually frowned upon. And I wasn't necessarily that grounded and connected yet either, but I knew I was bringing that kind of energy there. And I was the first master's-level person they had hired.
Yes.
Within 3 weeks, they had a counseling position open for me. Within 3 years, I was the executive director of the agency.
Yes.
And the transformation in my time, even before I took over the program, was just amazing. And the level and the approach really shifted. And that's going to get me into Dean now, because Dean comes from this from a very different experience and a more personal experience in terms of your own journey with drugs and addiction, but also your own spiritual journey. So introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about where you've been and what you're doing now.
Thank you, Stuart. It's a big honor to be here. I am coming from the opposite side of the same coin as Laura, and I've been involved in the world of addiction since I'm a young child. And for me, it's about searching. I finally came to the conclusion that I needed to shift my entire belief system about how I felt about myself and how I walked in the world and become the person that I came here to be. And that's what the Sanctuary at Sedona is all about. I've had the benefit of being in some of the most prestigious treatment centers in the country, a few of them more than one time. And there was, it became apparent to me that people that tried and were missing that connection, not overcoming the block, even recognizing their own blocks to living and their belief system about how they walk in the world and how, you had mentioned shame before. Shame is a big thing. People, in my viewpoint, are something else before they become drug addicts. And an addiction, a chemical addiction, you know, chemical addicts get a bad name because we kill people and get in DUIs and have traffic accidents and so forth. There are many, many compulsive behaviors that people use to be outside of the present moment, the here and now, because it's very painful sometimes to be in the here and now. And chemical addicts that I've been exposed to are typically very sensitive. They're typically intelligent people. They're using that as medicine, as, you know, to an escape mm-hmm. mechanism. The later stages of addiction are not fun, mm-hmm. and it's a very difficult path, and I have a lot of compassion and respect for people that choose that difficult path to teach their souls some healing mm-hmm. lessons. And what we focus on is healing the whole person, helping them to overcome these blocks. And when you go to a typical treatment center, you know, they've got a lot of things to manage. Getting a person stabilized, you know, not using a chemical or a mind-altering behavior, that's the entry level. You know, we can't do anything until a person achieves some abstinence. And they've got enough on their hands with their bureaucracy and paperwork and all that they have to do to just get a person to the point where they're separated from their drug for a while. So I have a lot of respect. I wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for the treatment industry. And, you know, I'm very grateful. And I've spent 30 years of my life in addiction. And the question, when a person has some recovery and then they make a decision that they're going to use again, and they know full well, people often say in and around the rooms of the 12 steps that, you know, I thought it would be different. I'm convinced the people that we're shooting for to come and be at the sanctuary are people, they know it's not going to be any different. But the pain of feeling their own feelings is more difficult than killing yourself one little piece at a time. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the best decision that they have at that moment. And a lot of our culture frowns on that. And, you know, there's so much duality in our culture. I've spent my entire life trying to be something that I'm not. And I've tried to, if you're not the president, you know, if you're the vice president, you need to be the president. If you don't have muscles and this and that, we're taught at an early age that we need something outside of ourselves. And that's caused me a lot of pain. And I've had two near-death experiences. I've been in treatment a multitude of times. And after having horrible detoxes to make that decision, you know, boy, I don't like this feeling. I think I need to medicate this today and start that whole cycle again. And there's the shame of walking into treatment one more time, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, it's...
So part of what I know you're aiming at is the chronic relapsers, and we all know who they are, and I've had some theories of my own about it. I have ADD, and I know some of them are undiagnosed ADD that are just not being treated, you know, properly, and they just cannot do assignments. They cannot do the structure that most 12-step programs, they need a different way of being worked with and supported. But they're not the only ones that are chronic relapsers. Now, as a therapist, I've referred people to Sierra Tucson, to the Meadows, and there's a program in Los Angeles called Alternatives, which works with gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender clients in recovery. They're all residential and outpatient and stuff. What would be different about the sanctuary? I know it's just for men at this point, but what would be different about your approach at the sanctuary?
In order to get to those blocks, we've combined traditional relapse counseling with some energy healing. These are ancient healing techniques that have been around since before recorded history, and we also have a large food component. I had the benefit of living in a Buddhist monastery for some time, so we're incorporating a lot of what I've learned in all these different treatment centers and combining it to create a retreat center, a healing center, not a treatment center, to create wholeness so people can have the time to discover what these blocks are. And we have some concepts, for example, the 12 steps. You know, step one, people that have been around the treatment industry for a while, they've done a million step ones. You know, we all know that we're powerless. So we've created something called a thesis, which is you would get a mentor, very similar to a sponsor, in and around the sanctuary, and you'd try to identify and then do research and do a presentation at the end of your stay about these blocks, which is basically a first step, but we're not calling it that because people will just assume, okay, I've done it before, I know. And so we're taking the same known healing modalities and combining them in a certain in a certain way. And the people that have come to this project and become excited about it are some, you know, very accredited folks. There's a lot of there's a lot of excitement about it because we're just filling that need for the person that doesn't necessarily need behavioral modification or those kinds of programs. Someone that is searching, that is fragmented, that has just been looking and looking and looking for that which is right in their own heart.
Right. I really, really value and appreciate what you're saying. I mean, as a therapist, as you heard with my introduction, you know, being holistic means body, mind, and spirit. And I know that for a long time, 12-step programs were even against therapy because to them it was, you know, the Antichrist, if you want to call it. You know, and for a long time, therapists did not have an understanding the way they do now. And there's a real sense of complementary approach with therapists and 12-step program, with spirituality you know, like I said, a just more holistic approach. And there are a lot of people I know in recovery that are already amenable to so much of what you're talking about, the shamanistic approaches to things, alternative approaches, dealing with something, and, of course, to be in an environment like Sedona to do this in, I think, will be heaven for them.
It's very healing. And we are a 12-step-based program. And as we had discussed, the 12 steps are very spiritual guidance tools. And in the end of the 12th step, it says to practice these principles in all of our affairs.
Right.
So in order to really get the benefit of the 12 steps, you need to live them completely.
Right.
And it's an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. Today, for example, I'm probably practicing three of those steps if I'm conscious.
Right.
And
okay.
Thank God.
Yeah. So we have some other guests scheduled, and I really want to thank you for taking the time out of the conference here.
Thank you, Steve.
And I am committed, if you're both willing, to have you both on at another time separately for a full hour because there's so much more that we could be talking about. This is just a tease for my listeners.
That's right.
And if anybody wants to get in touch with either one of you, they could either email me at my website, tellthetruthfaster.com, and I'll make sure it gets onto them. Or for Dean Tarabarelli about the sanctuary, you can get in touch with him at Dean, D-E-A-N, at sanctuary.net, sanctuary.net. And there is www.sanctuary.net. You can find out more about the program.
I don't have a computer, so you might use my name and my phone number anytime you see fit.
Okay.
It belongs to the world.
Okay, so if I get any emails for you, I'll call you.
Yes.
and make sure that they get onto you. And I want to thank both of you for being here. And I will be seeing you around the Celebrating the Divine Feminine Conference the next day or two. So thank you again.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Many blessings.
Thank you. So my next guest is, we're switching gears here, and we're going to be talking about the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology. And my next guest is Amanda Young, who is with the Institute for Transpersonal Psychology. And I want to ask you to speak into the microphone. You can put those on. Good transition here. And Amanda, I want to welcome you to the show, first of all. And tell us a little bit. We have about 10 minutes, okay? So I want to talk to you first about what is transpersonal psychology in a capsulated form.
That's a great question. Transpersonal psychology, at least from the standpoint of the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology, deals with the traditional models and theories of psychology, but it also looks at levels of consciousness, spiritual inquiry, and, you know, the relationship between body and mind.
Mm-hmm. So it basically, the introduction I made about my holistic approach, which is body, mind, and spirit, is in certain ways another way of saying transpersonal psychology.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So talk a little bit about the features of transpersonal psychology. I mean, what would be some of the more specifics in that?
The specific types of work within transpersonal?
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with body-mind disciplines, so such as yoga, meditation.
Mm-hmm.
We practice Aikido at the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology as part of our program. It also has to do with breath work.
Mm-hmm. So I'm a rebirther in addition to being a therapist. You do rebirthing at the center?
We don't do rebirthing there, but it is not frowned upon.
Okay.
You say it's open to everything, basically.
Uh-huh.
Whatever is your connection,
mm-hmm,
to get you what you believe system.
Right. And I know there are many different forms of breath work, rebirthing or conscious breathing just being one of them.
Yes.
And I did a show just a few weeks ago dealing with yoga and breath, and I know that's very important too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I often encourage my private clients, massage, hella work, rolfing, rebirthing, yoga, exercise, Pilates, whatever. So basically you're incorporating all of this.
Yes.
Now, as a center, you're talking about transpersonal psychology.
Yes.
Normally we think of as psychology as what's going on emotionally,
mm-hmm,
and mentally, mm-hmm, and maybe historically and what the patterns look like and stuff. How,
mm-hmm,
do you deal with that sort of stuff? I mean, are there individual sessions people have, or is it more of a, here's a smorgasbord of things you can do, and all of it's going to help feed you, so pick and choose? I mean, if somebody came to the center, how would you work with them?
The Center for the Divine Feminine?
The Institute.
Well, the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology does have a Transpersonal Counseling Center.
Mm-hmm.
When you come to the Transpersonal Counseling Center, we pretty much just meet the person where they are.
Mm-hmm.
We look at their spirituality, which a lot of traditional psychology doesn't necessarily recognize as an important part. So we definitely take that into consideration, which really is becoming a beneficial thing for much of the population and community that we work with.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really exciting work for people to realize that that's, too, an important part of their growth. The Institute trains clinicians. So there's two parts,
mm-hmm,
of the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology, one being the Transpersonal Counseling Center, where you can receive the services, another being that which trains clinicians, and we do that through master's degrees and PhDs.
So I know that there is a place in Santa Monica called the University of Santa Monica, which has a master's degree and bachelor's in spiritual psychology.
Okay.
Do you know about them?
I do not.
Okay. So I'm kind of getting that your training program for master's level people would be, I think, a similar mentality, which is incorporation as the clinicians are being trained. They're,
mm-hmm,
trained in work beyond just Rogerian or this or that or whatever, that sort of stuff. Beyond Gestalt work, which was a lot of my background,
mm-hmm,
in training, so that their training and their foundation is actually in consider the whole human being.
Absolutely.
What's the pain in the soul and not just, you know, behavior?
Exactly.
And how does that affect behavior?
Exactly.
So talk about how the therapists are being trained a little
bit
more.
Sure. I think most importantly, we're being trained absolutely to recognize the traditional theories and models.
Mm-hmm.
They're the foundation, and we definitely stick to those. But yes, what you're saying is we do go beyond in recognizing that there are other parts of the human being that walk in the door. And we're being trained to recognize and just be with the people where they are in those, you know, their belief systems,
mm-hmm,
whatever that may be. So there's a broad education with religion, spirituality. So we do have some understanding of each person and the different types of religions and spiritualities and how they affect their lives, just as you would do culture,
mm-hmm,
and other parts with the person.
Right.
It's really an amazing program,
mm-hmm,
I have to say. It's really opening up the whole world of transpersonal psychology, and I think gaining the recognition it needs. And we're in a WASC accredited program, which is the Western body for accrediting institutions,
mm-hmm,
and we also are in the process of obtaining APA accreditation.
Okay.
So it's really being recognized by the accrediting bodies within,
uh-huh,
psychology.
Okay. So I want to take just two more minutes, sure. Because on your card it says you're the Divine Feminine Center Coordinator of the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology,
yes.
Which obviously that's why you're here,
yes.
At the Divine, celebrating the Divine Feminine Conference. What does that entail? And we have 2 minutes before I want to get my other guests on.
Sure, no problem. In 2 minutes, then. The Center for the Divine Feminine is a center sponsored by the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology and will serve ITP, is what the short term.
Okay.
Both academically and experientially through ritual, rites of passage, et cetera, but also will serve the community in terms of sacred activism, what we like to call getting ourselves out there,
mm-hmm.
Not looking inward only for our guidance, but sharing with the community. So it's up and coming. It's just started. That's why we're here at this fabulous conference.
And actually, I understand you're actually one of the sponsors of the conference, so
yes.
I want to give you credit for that, too.
Thank you.
Because without sponsors for things like this, they wouldn't be taking place. So
yes, it's an honor. It's an honor to be here.
Good. So I really want to thank you. If people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Well, there's two ways. The ITP website is www.itp.edu,
mm-hmm.
And then my personal email is ayoung@itp.edu.
.edu.
Yes.
And if you want to get in touch with Amanda Young, and didn't write any of that down, like I said previously, you can go to tellthetruthfaster.com, email me, and I'll pass on any information directly to her email address, and she'll be able to get back to you. Thank you so much for taking time away from your booth to do this. And the same thing I said to Lynn and Dean is that I would actually like to do a full hour show on this topic. Okay,
great.
So I'll be getting in touch with you and have that scheduled.
Great, we look forward to it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, and we have actually a good block of time left because I have two more guests that I'll be introducing. And they're going to be joining us here at the microphone very soon. And one of them is Jeff Allen and the other is Ken Bechtel. And they are also participating in the Celebrate the Divine Feminine Conference here in Sedona. And I encourage you who are listening again, if any of this is of interest to you, to drive up from Phoenix and participate in what we're doing here. And if you heard the show and you go looking for me, I'll be here through tomorrow afternoon also. So, Jeff and Ken. Right? Okay. I met these two guys yesterday, and the first thing I want to ask you both, and then I'm going to ask you to, as you're answering that, to introduce yourselves too, because you have more background on you than I do. And there are a number of men here at this conference for celebrating the Divine Feminine. I know why I'm here, because I was asked to speak, and also because, well, I won't get into it, because I want you to give your own answers. You know, you two guys in late 20s, early 30s would be my guess, and you're here at Celebrating the Divine Feminine Conference. Why? Why don't we start with Jeff?
Sure. Yeah, so it's actually a good question. You would think if you asked 100 people about celebrating the Divine Feminine, that men would stand up and say, ooh, I want to celebrate the Divine Feminine.
More tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, but honestly, I mean, who wouldn't want to celebrate the Divine Feminine?
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed, for me, it was actually Ken that got me interested in coming down here. But I noticed inside myself a little resistance to coming. Some of the fears that came up were things around, will I be accepted as a man coming into a women's space, or what I was perceiving as a women's space, and I found actually quite the opposite, that people were very accepting, which is really nice, and actually thanked me for coming. We're glad to see that men are here. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really nice. I've also kind of discovered here that I wasn't quite sure what I was going to get out of it. I just knew that it sounded like a good idea.
You came on faith, really.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
But I noticed several things. I've been discovering as I'm sitting in these sessions that both the balance of the male and female inside myself, where that's out of balance, and learning more about the feminine within, but also kind of looking at how I relate to women as a man. And that relationship, there's been a lot of times where I felt competition in that space or conflict in that space. And to meet women that are really celebrating their divine feminine is different. I don't experience that.
And are celebrating your divine feminine. Because really what you're saying, and that's what my workshop yesterday was all about, which both of you missed, was really about men and women both celebrating both their divine feminine and their divine masculine and healing the rift between the two that is often an internal conflict, as you just said, between us as individuals, whether we're men or women. And then by doing that, having the ability to heal the rift in the world around us between men and women to create more peace on the planet. So, Ken, why you are the one that came up with the idea to be here, and Jeff came along. What was your motivation? Why are you here?
Well, I actually found out about it from our friends Michael and Raphael Tamara. And as soon as I read it, I knew I was coming. I've spent probably the last 6 years teaching male-female relationship classes, male-female communication. And Jeff and I started a business about 2 years ago called Spirit-to-Spirit Communication up in Denver, providing counseling, different types of readings, healings, different types of spiritual classes around that. And as soon as I read the background, I knew it was where I needed to be. So I basically emailed Jeff and said, I'm going, are you interested?
Mm-hmm.
And that was last Friday.
Okay.
So we just kind of threw it together and said, this is where we need to be.
And what are you getting out of it so far? What's it doing for you?
It's really been tremendous to see how many different approaches people take to working with male and female energy, as well as the aspect of recognizing that there's a broad understanding that male and female energy doesn't mean male and female body, that we all have both. It's finding the harmony in those. That's one of the things that I find a lot of people are stunned by when you address that initially in a class of, well, what do you mean? I thought this was about guys. I thought this was about women. It's
right.
Like, no, it's about energy. And how easy it is for us with our backgrounds and our typical societal training to fall back into the body type instead of the energy type that you're working with. So it's been really great to see how many different approaches people are taking to getting that message out there.
Mm-hmm. And now you mentioned a center that the two of you have formed, and it's in Denver, which is in Colorado, in case someone didn't get through their geography. Talk about the center. How did it get started? And you do counseling, you do other types of healing work. What goes on there? And what do you, both of you do individually with it? Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, we started our business. It's called Spirit to Spirit Communications. And we started, I guess, just about 2 years ago. And one of the both of us have quite a bit of background in doing clairvoyant reading. I also do hands-on healing work and some remote healing work.
Similar to Reiki? Or
Very similar to Reiki,
okay.
Yes. And also a couple other modalities. I've traveled around to different sacred sites, both here in the U.S., a little bit in Europe, and also over in Africa, and done healings for the sites, healings for people, healings for businesses. So kind of the idea behind this business, however, is trying to take the information and tools that we have about looking at things clairvoyantly, tuning into your inner guidance and voice, and taking that not just to the people that kind of already know how to do it, but taking it out to the common people. So, and that's not, you know, meant as a diss in any
right.
way. It's just that instead of preaching to the choir, try to take these tools that are really useful in everyday life. In my corporate America job, I can use them. I can use them in my relationships, all over the place. And trying to present them in a manner that isn't scary, doesn't seem religious. It's not not something that people need to fear, but actually it's kind of exciting. It's you know, because it's something that's inside everyone. The ability to feel energy and feel energy from somebody else and understand these subtle things. So that's really what it's about.
So with the psychic readings and things like that that you incorporate, I know in the past there have been a number of people that I've had sessions with where the readings were as much of a therapy session for me as any therapy session I'd ever been in. So I'm really supporting what you're saying and what you're doing, because a lot of people don't realize, I mean, you do need to be careful that there are people out there that are misusing the named psychic or spiritual reader and things like that that are taking advantage, and very often the best way to find someone that may be credible is through someone else you may know that has been to them, and you see something positive has come out of it, which is the same way we often get referred to a good therapist. You see changes that are going on or some insights that have happened for somebody, and you see some good things, and you say, well, you know, who's been working with you? Who you've been working with? And that's usually where I get most of my clients. So, Ken, why don't you talk a little bit about how you incorporate that, your work, into the center and how that, what kind of results you see?
Well, I actually, Jeff and I both started studying this type of work at the Psychic Horizon Center in Boulder, Colorado about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. That's where we met, and Jeff ended up being on the board for a while. I was teaching there, and one of the things we always get told when we meet people and we tell them we're clairvoyant, they'll say, you don't look psychic. And we realize that that's actually something that helps people to approach us,
mm-hmm.
because they don't have this image of, oh, this is a gypsy, this is a fortune teller,
right.
This is just a guy I can relate to. And, well, he can actually give me some insights and help me to understand more of what's going on in my life.
Right.
So that was part of the driving force behind us doing our own business, was to get out of that idea that it has to look a certain way, and that... usually when that people say that you don't look psychic, I'll say, what do you mean? They say, well, you're a man.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just tells you how little permission there is for men to have that intuition and to use that guidance
right.
in their everyday life.
Because intuition is usually put under the category of feminine mm-hmm. characteristics and things like that. And there are a lot of men, including myself, who are very intuitive. It's how I work as a therapist, is I get a gut feeling and I speak it. And I don't call myself a psychic, but intuitive, psychic, there are so many words mm-hmm. that can say the same thing that are more comfortable for certain people to hear as opposed to other people. So I really get what you're saying in terms of that. You know, you guys are dressed as conservative as anyone you know, I've seen, you know, casual and conservative, and, you know, I get what you're saying. It's like you're not coming off, you don't have, you know, a third eye in the middle of your forehead and, you know, wearing robes and all that stuff that a lot of people prefer in terms of an energy, but a lot of people it's off-putting, and I respect what you're saying. So how do you incorporate it into your work?
Well, we take the approach, we don't really do ongoing spiritual programs where mm-hmm. somebody has to commit to months of study or what
mm-hmm.
have you. We feel like there's such a benefit to even somebody coming in and getting a hello on a spirit level, and taking maybe a one morning class and just getting some practice and some permission that it's okay
mm-hmm.
to trust your intuition, that it's safe, it doesn't hurt anybody, you already know it, you just don't trust it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And giving them some guidance there that lets them take that first step towards honoring who they are as a spirit and a body.
Mm-hmm.
And so we take that as much as possible. Matter of fact, we keep people go, oh, you have these classes, and we're like, well, they're just one day. They're not a lifetime commitment.
Right.
You're not changing your life in a dramatic material way. You may dramatically change your life just by trusting your awareness now. But even that hello and that permission, a lot of times most people have never had that in their entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said it was okay to trust your instincts.
Right.
We have to find something analytical to prove it.
Right.
And once people get permission, they'll be like, oh, I do that all the time. I'm actually very good at that.
Right.
And that's the first step. And if they want to go further, great.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you're saying is that people also have some trepidation about if I go in there, then they're going to kind of hook me into the next class and hook me into the next class, and then I have to get to gold level and then to mm-hmm. platinum level and then mm-hmm. all this other stuff. And the same thing I say to my clients in an introductory first session is, to me, the whole purpose of therapy is to get out of therapy.
Yep.
You know, to take with the tools you're learning, to develop the insight and the confidence to put them to use and to get out there and to know that you can always come back if you need a fine-tuning or some other crisis comes up. But and I kind of hear the same with you. You're not... they're taking advantages of people's vulnerabilities or sensitivities and, in a sense, forcing them down a road. And you're really empowering them to make their own choices and decisions and set their own boundaries and limitations.
Yeah, that's the idea,
mm-hmm.
definitely.
So what specific? You talked about classes. So what kind of classes might people have available to them at your center in Denver?
Well, next weekend we have a class called All About Men for Women.
All About Men for Women.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a class just for women.
For women.
Yeah. Kind of the opposite of what this weekend's about.
And are you as men teaching it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The following month we do one called Living Your Wildest Dreams. We have a weekend set up in the first weekend of October that's just a spiritual awareness class, kind of a beginning introduction that takes place for 2 days in Colorado Springs.
Mm-hmm.
We basically try to have at least one workshop every month. That's just a one-day introduction to a certain different aspect. We have one coming up in December called Taming Your Family Circus.
Another word for dysfunction, huh?
Try and be delicate okay. with that. So we try and take, and one of our focus, and this is one of the things that Jeff and I noticed we resonated on as two individuals, is we both tend to bring a lot of amusement to our classes. And I know Michael Tamara mentioned it last night in his presentation, is nothing moves without some amusement. And people tend to get real serious, oh, I'm making this dramatic life change, so on and so forth. And we tend to, you know, kind of poke at it and go, it's not that big a deal. Mm-hmm. Right. Let it go.
Don't take yourself so seriously,
yeah.
right? I mean, you see, I do that with here. This
Absolutely.
Too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the workshop on what you need to know about men for women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're both teaching that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you two men getting up there, speaking to a group of women mm-hmm. about what they need to know about men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For example, what are you going to be saying to them?
Well, a lot of the things that we explore in that class are differences between male energy and female energy. And as Ken mentioned, male energy and female energy, we both have both, mm-hmm. a male body and a female body. But there's a lot of common places in relationships between men and women where people kind of trip. And I'm sure you've seen them a lot yourself. One of them has to do with communication. You know, we think that men and women communicate the same, and we actually don't. Male energy is a much lower vibration than female energy, and the communication space is different. So if as a man, I look at my partner and as a woman and think, oh, she's really just a guy that I can communicate with like a guy, but she's got a nicer body. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and women look at guys and think, oh, I can talk to him like my girlfriend, but he's just got kind of deficient communication skills.
Mm-hmm.
And really it's not true. I mean, men just communicate differently than women communicate. So teaching some, talking about stories about that, which gets people laughing, listen to their own stories, and just putting some acknowledgement on the fact that there is a difference and that it's okay, really seems to help people.
Okay. And do you have the counterpart class? Do you have women teaching a class opposite that for men?
We don't currently. Where I started this class, where I developed it about 5 years ago, they did do a counterpart with some of the female instructors. I don't know if that's continued on, but this is a class that had such a positive response from the female public that we just decided to continue it.
Okay.
And bring that out there. We haven't found the right female teachers for it yet, though.
Do you have more difficult time getting men into your center than you do women?
Yes. It's true, we do. I haven't found a center that doesn't,
uh-huh.
but I think part of that is our societal permission. Again, there's not a lot of permission for men to embrace that spirituality,
mm-hmm.
to embrace their intuition or whatever you want to refer to it as, and so they struggle with, you know, the label that might come from, oh, I went to class at this center, I went to class at the Psychic Institute or whatever the place may be called, much more than females do, because as you referred to, it's female intuition. They don't
mm-hmm.
have male intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Why? And that's one of the things I like to address in the All
right.
About Men for Women class is the stereotypes.
Right.
And why are you operating from them
mm-hmm.
as opposed to seeing that?
Well,
person?
And it's also, even as a kid, I mean, there are children, and this is a point I make often on the show, there are a lot of adults that are very uncomfortable with those children in their lives that are already showing signs of being intuitive and sensitive. I know myself as a kid, adults would come to me to ask, you know, my opinion on things. And here I was 6, 7 years old, 12 years old, and yet there were adults, and even the bullies that were picking on me in private were actually asking me my advice. I mean, it was a real strange shift, you know?
Yeah.
And one thing I encourage parents that are listening, don't be afraid of those kids. Don't be afraid of those kids. You have a gift on your hands. And if you don't know what to do with that gift, don't do damage to it by putting them down or making fun of them, especially to the dads out there who really, like we're talking about, are a little bit more uncomfortable sometimes with that kind of energy. You know, I'm a gay man, and I know at that time people were assuming that I was, a sissy, and that I was, you know, going to be gay, and it was uncomfortable for that. But not all of those kids, boys, are gay men. Not all of those girls, you know, are, you know, the opposite of that. And the whole thing is to really honor that this child has a gift and to encourage it. And if you don't know what to do with it yourself, find someone in your community that can guide you in guiding the growth of that child. Because those children will grow up to be the gift givers of the planet, the healers of the planet, like the two of you, like I include myself in that and so many others. And it's so important to really pay attention to what the children in your life are bringing to you.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we have about 5 minutes left. And how can people get in touch with you?
Probably the easiest way is to go to our website. It's at www.spirit2spirit.com. That's the number two.
So that's spirit, S-P-I-R-I-T, the number two, and the same word written out again.
Right. And there's contact information for both of us on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can send email to jeff@spirit2spirit.com or ken@spirit2spirit.com. And I'd also like to mention we have a second website that's more of a community website. It's a little harder to spell. It's called flibbergibbets.net. And it's just kind of a community space where people can go publish or read articles about spirituality, post their own events or look for events. Currently it's in the Denver area, but it's open for anybody to use.
So it actually is a network, and it is a .net site.
Yeah.
So it's flibbergibbets.net, just the way it sounds.
Right.
Okay, and so there are articles on there. People can post what's going on, and it's postings nationally, so people can go to a city and see what's going on, or
yes,
just in Denver?
It's nationally, internationally. I mean, it's mm-hmm. the Internet, so anybody
right.
can get to it. And there is a spot on there, too, if somebody wants to promote themselves. There's instructions on how to create your own web page, add articles, add your own events, add yourself to the resource directory, all that. It's really just one of our ways of giving back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to be able to go to one place and find events and information from different people instead of having to go to 10 websites or mm-hmm. get a bunch of newsletters. So, and that's just getting started.
Good. Okay. I really want to thank both of you. It was nice actually sitting at a different table at lunch yesterday, which got us connected and talking with my friend Victoria Jennings, who's also here at the conference. I want to remind people that this conference is going on through the rest of today. There's a great musical event this evening. Tomorrow there's more workshops and lectures and another performance piece going on tomorrow afternoon. So if you're listening in Phoenix, it's worth the drive up here. You can get individual tickets to certain events. You can actually go to the website, which is celebratethedivinefeminine.com. So if you want to see what's still coming before the end of the weekend, you can go there and then pick and choose what you may want to attend when you come up here. So I also let people know and remind you every week that my website, www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can go to that website. This show will be archived within about a week or two. So if you didn't write down the contact information for any of my guests, you can email them via me and I will pass it on. And the website itself is always available for any information dealing with mental health, metaphysics, spirituality, addictions, you name it. It's on there on one show or another over the last 4 years. And I really want to thank Ken and Jeff for showing up here. Now, for my listeners, next week I'll be rerunning a previous show because I'll be getting an award next week from the Lesbian and Gay Psychotherapy Association of Southern California. I'm receiving their 6th Community Service Award, kind of like a Lifetime Achievement Award from therapist to therapist, and I'm really grateful for them. So I'll be celebrating with my family and friends next week. So thank you for listening. This is Stuart Altschul on KXAM 1310 and Tell the Truth Faster. See you soon. Thanks. The
that I heard of once in a lifetime.